This is Sexagesima Sunday. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. If you were unable to assist at Mass last week on the Feast of St. Blaise, you may have your throat blessed immediately after Mass today at the communion rail. If you would like candles blessed last week on the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, please receive them from one of the seminarians after Mass today in the back of the chapel as you leave. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Starting this Saturday, we will hear confessions before and after the Mass. So today we have benediction after Mass. If you have not had your throat blessed, you may come up for that. And also, if you have not received a candle, you can receive it as you're going out from the seminarians. And then after the blessing of throats, anyone has anything to be blessed, you can bring those up. And then this Saturday will be the start of, we've been having confessions before the 8:30 Mass on Saturday, and now we'll have them after as well. So you can go either before or after. Similarly, we do it on Sunday. Today is also the Feast of St. Romuald, the founder of the Camaldolese Benedictines. Tomorrow is the Feast of St. John of Matha, and it is, as Father was saying recently, just this week, about the saints, how he has, throughout all the years, promoted devotion to the saints, especially speaking about St. Rita, because it's not as well known. And especially in today's climate, where the saints are not even spoken about. So all I'm saying is little snippets about these great saints. Saint John of Matha, he is the founder of the Trinitarian order. These priests and friars, one of the things that they would do, all the things the priests do, but their particular apostolate was to help those who were enslaved by the infidels. And if necessary, if giving money to the infidels would not release the enslaved Catholic, they would give themselves up. That's heroic charity. Tuesday is the feast of St. Cyril of Alexandria, who is the Patriarch of Alexandria, who was the spearhead the Pope was using at the Council of Ephesus to defend the Blessed Virgin Mary and our Lord's being one person with two natures. He was fighting a heresy that was saying there were two persons in Christ. Great saint. And commemorated that day is St. Apollonia. If you know anything about this saint, she was part of her martyrdom was the breaking of her teeth. And so she is a patroness for dentists and anyone who has dental problems. So you should turn to her. We all have. Wednesday is the feast of Saint Scholastica, the twin sister of Saint Benedict. And the one story that is so charming, really, was her convent was near to his monastery in Monte Cassino, and every year they would visit and talk. And this one time the visit was over, and so he started to leave, as he usually did. And she asked her brother, "Would you please stay longer to talk more?" And he said, "No, sister, I have to go. You know I have to leave." And so she stopped, and she prayed. And this tremendous thunderstorm broke out, and it was you could not go through it, even the short distance back to his monastery. And he just turned to her and said, "God forgive you, sister." And so he did stay, and they talked all about heaven. And then he did go back, and 3 days later he was praying, and out his window he saw this dove flying to heaven. And it was a symbol to him, the image of her soul. She had just passed away. He died shortly after. Thursday is the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And again, that to confirm what the Pope had done in Rome 4 years earlier when he had proclaimed the Immaculate Conception, The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Saint Bernadette and told her, I am the Immaculate Conception. And Friday is the feast of the seven holy founders of the Servites. These were, well, there's lots to be said about them, but their particular apostolate was devotion to Our Lady's seven sorrows. And they are the propagators of this, and they practiced penances to such a horrific degree that the cardinal who was put in charge of them, he said, this is not right. We have to put some order here. But by the way, they listened to the authority and they conformed. So all these great people to imitate. And we always say, we do not imitate them necessarily in their action, but we do in the spirit, because in, what is the essence? Charity. Because God will move us in different times for different things. And so the things that these people may have done, they're not possible for us. And so we don't have to try to imitate these seven holy founders. I won't go into their penances. That's not it. But you see, those things were curbed when they were told that's excessive. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Just one note. If you heard at the Q&A a couple of weeks ago, Father talked all about the conversion of St. Paul, which was 2 weeks ago. And in the midst of that story, without going into details, we heard already, but it was one thing that our Lord said to Ananias, the priest that baptized St. Paul. He said, he is a vessel of election, St. Paul is. I will teach him what he must suffer for my name. If you remember that, we're going to hear some of those things God taught him. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourselves. For you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly. I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice I was scourged, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I was adrift on the sea, in journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago Whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save in my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, and lest the greatness of the revelations should puff me up. There was given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this, I thrice besought the Lord that it might leave me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathering together and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit a hundredfold. And as he said these things, he cried out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way, are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen. But that upon good ground, these are they who with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. If you want to hear a beautiful talk on the liturgy, go to the website. And if you're here on the first Friday, you can listen again to the conference that Father gave. The liturgy is the ordinary means of sanctification. It is our road to heaven. And he explains different things in there, but one of the things he said, it is highly mystical. It takes us through the three stages of the interior life. We call it the purgative, illuminative, and unitive stages. You don't have to go through the theological course as a priest has to do to study these things in detail. All you have to do is follow the liturgy, and it happens to you. You can read, if you read any of these saints, I'm thinking of Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, St. Catherine of Siena, who could not read. And you hear what they had spoke and people wrote down, in the case of Saint Catherine. It is highly mystical, as if she had the PhD in theology. Hers was better. It was from the Holy Ghost. That is what awaits all of you, each of us, in the liturgy, the sacred liturgy. Now, for today, because as Paul said, it's as if we take the Sacred Heart, our Lord just turns this precious gem, and different as he turns it in a different angle, the divine light hits it, and we see different aspects of the love of God. That's what the liturgy is like. So we turn the Sacred Heart today to look at this because of what's happening after Mass. That is, don't forget, the basis of it. The basis is that the unseen, untouchable God, Creator, has allowed himself to be touched, to be seen, to be heard through the Incarnation. And that makes itself present to us in the liturgy. First, in the greatest of the sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, where we actually touch our Lord's body. But all the sacraments, flowing from that, the sacramentals, outward signs, this is sacramentals, instituted by Christ through the Church to give us grace, not automatically, but based on several factors we're not going to explain. So that we are, in the Mass we have the liturgy, but we have all of these things helping us. Today you're going to be receiving extra helps. You're going to be receiving the blessing of throats. That is a sacramental. Look it up in your catechism. I'm telling you this, so if you're going to receive it, you receive it with devotion, because the benefit is dependent, not as the sacraments are, just by the sacrament being done. They are dependent on many things, but one of them is the minister who's giving it, but it is the recipient. You must have devotion. What are the things that the sacramental does? As we know, blessing, it is helping our health. It will ward off the attacks of the devil. It will wash away venial sin. It will take away temporal punishment. Gain you merit, graces. That's the blessing. Then you take your candle. You take your candle home, the purification candle. Have it with you. We can't go through. Be here for the feast to hear all about the precious nature of the candle. So that's just to give you, those who are coming, to receive those things. Now, the readings were quite long today, so we have to be aware of time, because there's a lot that has to happen after Mass, too. But we do want to tell you this. As you can tell, just when you're reading it, hearing it, St. John Chrysostom said that the heart of St. Paul was the heart of Christ. And you can hear his heart coming through these inspired words that he was made to write. None of these things meant anything to him, all these sufferings. How do we know that? Because he said this. But the things that were gained to me, these for the sake of Christ, I have counted loss. Nay more, I count everything loss because of the excelling knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as dung that I may gain Christ, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and become like him in death, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That's what we're doing. We're going into Lent. That is why the Church, we're in the season of Septuagesima. Sometimes it's nice to think of it. Is this the season of St. Paul? We had his conversion 2 weeks ago, the feast. And then last, because he's dominant, the church that we, the whole church is representatively at today is this church of St. Paul outside the walls, where there is a massive statue just outside the church of St. Paul dressed as a Pharisee, stone statue, dressed as a Pharisee, if you know how they dress with their prayer shawls, and today you can see them, some of these practicing people. And he's standing there, and underneath the base it says, "The Apostle to the Gentiles." That's us. He's our saint. So that's where we are today. The church is there. And we have him in the epistle last week, the epistle today, and the epistle next week. We won't go into those. Talk about just this one. He's telling us, the church is telling us through him, we, the sufferings, the things that we have to go through Lent, they mean nothing. They're nothing to us if we have the love of God. So that's what we, and the liturgy will give it to us. We have to pray, have to ask for it. Now, more can be said, but we have other things to say. For example, our Lord in the gospel. Now, this is a grave warning. We can't go through all the details, tremendous details. It says he cried out because all the synoptic gospel writers tell us about this, so we know more details, how he came out of St. Peter's house in Capernaum. All these people followed him to the Sea of Gennesaret there, and they all crowded around him, and they were pushing him into the water, basically. So what did he say? "Peter, you got your boat there. Let's get into the boat." So he got into the boat. So he's speaking these words from the boat. So he's crying out to them on the shore. And you can hear the details. We won't because of the time. We can't. Because our Lord himself, the apostles asked him, "What does this mean? We can tell. You're telling us something." And first he tells them, "It is for you to know. For the others, the truths are all there for everyone. The faith is for everyone, but they're not going to, they fall into these categories, they're not going to listen. They're hard of heart. The devil's going to come and take it away. The cares and needs of the world are going to snuff it out for them. So you have to be careful." It's a warning. See, that's the thing. He's, in a gentle way, he's warning them. And then he's saying to those who have made it, the last group, the good, there's a warning there for you. The detail is not here in St. Luke, it's in St. Matthew. St. Luke says, "And the good soil who receive the word, they return a hundredfold." It's because St. Matthew tells us, yes, some receive a hundredfold, and there's one part that receives 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So even to the elect, there is the warning. Give all to get all. God has given all. All he's doing is asking us to return that love to him. Now, a couple other practical things. Just again, to encourage people, the catechism is something we should never stop. As I came down here, I pulled out the catechism. I don't remember the number of the question. What are the effects of sacramentals? So I gave them to you, five. I just looked that up in the catechism. We never stop using the catechism. And those lessons have to keep being taught and learned. We spoke, whatever it was, a few months ago about this. And this is something you have to understand. As our Lord said, was it our Lord? Let's see if it's since, I think it was St. Paul here at the end. Now who is our Lord. You will bear fruit in patience. We have to be patient. Now, miracles happen, and people can become saints instantly. We have St. Paul's conversion. But generally speaking, it takes time. That's why our Lord says, you have to be patient. It's going to be a long battle. And you have the weapons, you have the tools, no matter how small you are in the faith. That's the one thing that we appreciate when we're speaking, especially to the first communicants, teaching them catechism. They do not know the power that they exert and show every time they fight off a temptation from the devil. This is a mighty being, Satan. How is he humiliated when a little child can fight off his temptation? That's what they're doing. Of course, the 90-year-old is just as tiny against the devil. So all of us, when we fight off temptations, we are humiliating him. That's not why we do it, but that's just an effect. So we all have the principles that we have to have and hold on to make it through life, because we, almost every day is some kind of a new experience. We haven't been taught, oh, do this there. We have to have these principles. We told you, whatever it was, a few months ago, about this case, this Supreme Court case 100 years ago, where they wanted to sterilize people who were deemed less than eligible to carry on the human race. And a famous jurist, whose name we all know, said, 3 generations of imbeciles is enough. And his opinion carried the way in that Supreme Court vote of 8-1. And he challenged the one and said, why don't you step up to modern times? Don't let your Catholic faith get in the way of what you know is legally correct. If you recall that story. I want to stand with that person. That's what you want to do in today's world. Never step away from your Catholic principles. Where are those people today? Where is that famous jurist today proclaiming we don't want more than 3 generations of imbeciles? Where is he today? Where is that, I'm not naming him either, the Catholic, where is he today? He stood with Christ. And I'll give you another example. Just heard yesterday. I'm going to read a quote. It is sometimes necessary to lie damnably in the interest of the state. I see some people saying no. That is pernicious. It is never permitted to do anything wrong, no matter how good the result. Right? Good. We all know that. We have to live by it. This was said by a famous Catholic author who was approached at the time of World War I with other English, famous English authors. And they were all asked by the government to put out propaganda to promote the war and hate the enemy in England. And these people did that. This is not a knock on patriotism. It's a knock on lying. Because afterwards, this Catholic's conscience bothered him. And he said these words. Still not, he still had not figured it out. or he still would not accept his guilt, because he defends himself here. It is sometimes necessary to lie damnably, damnably, going to hell for it, in the interest of the state. We do not want anyone walking out of the church today thinking this way, acting this way. If you have ever wondered about these types of things, put them aside. These are not going to get you to heaven. Be like the lone jurist in the Supreme Court 100 years ago who was mocked and ridiculed for his faith publicly. And another practical thing, we'll speak for ourselves. I will not project my thoughts to you, on you. Maybe afraid is too strong a word. Anxious might be better. We don't know what's coming. It doesn't look good. We may be called to do all these things or have these things done to us as they were done to St. Paul. But no fear. Our Lord shows the way. So, he asks us to do the same thing. He asks us to be scourged, to be mocked, to be spit upon, to be nailed to a cross. We're going to run from that? No. None of you are. Now, don't forget the lesson of St. Alphonsus Liguori in the Victories of the Martyrs. They only were martyrs because they did not stop praying. Those who stopped praying were lost. The 40 Holy Martyrs of Armenia, March 10th, coming up. You remember, 40 soldiers out on the ice, martyrs, and one stopped praying. And another took his place. You know, one of the pagans saw the angels coming with the crowns, and one crown was available, and he just became a Christian on the spot. But what about the one that left? He stopped praying. So the big lesson today is, do not stop praying. No matter what comes, God will show the way. Do not become a person who will lie damnably or whatever else might be asked. You have the principles. You know what to follow. And God will give you the strength. Because St. Paul, again, he is our doctor, our teacher during these days. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or hunger, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. I'm not sure if you have. I've heard that those words often recently. Now, we're all just sheep being led to the slaughter. But in all these things, we overcome because of him who has loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. With those words, we can proceed to the rest of Septuagesima Lent, to rising with Christ on Easter. May God bless you.